Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, are you ready for the Word of God? I want to give you what I call an instruction for next year. Let's put it that way, for next year. Instruction for next year. And I will teach on this, continue next Sunday. I'll call it spiritual fervency. So can we say together, spiritual fervency? Amen. Let's say it one more time. Say spiritual fervency. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Can we start from verse 9? It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Then verse 10 says, be kind, affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know that affection you have with your brother, or your ability to be affectionate, is an important trait as a believer. One of the things that Paul said when he was writing to the churches is, ever since I heard of your faith, ever since I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. So there is that connection between faith and love. Peter, remind me, I need to call you and your wife for your testimony after the service. Ever since I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. So brotherly love, brotherly kindness is an important trait for the Christian. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it says, back to verse 9, it says, abhor what is evil, right? That is, you must hate what is evil. And the next thing goes on to say, you cleave to that which is good. If you look at what the Bible says about the anointed, it says, for you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So it's a good balance. It's not just that I love righteousness, but the passion with which you love what is right should be the same passion you hate what is wrong. Are we together? So you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. So he says, cleave to that which is good. Be kind to one another. In honor, preferring one another. You know, this is a very tough aspect of your love walk where you have to prefer your neighbor to yourself. Many opportunities will present where you have to either choose yourself or your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband. But it says you prefer the other. You consider the other first. I know I've heard people say, love your neighbor as yourself. Pastor, how can we love when we don't love ourselves? So we love ourselves first. I get it. But you see, the attitude of just putting others first, because you always have you. There would always be time to take care of you. That spirit to just choosing someone first, going the extra mile for another. Then verse 11 says, not slothful. Feels like the echo is a lot. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Let's read verse 11 together. One, two, go. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we're talking about spiritual fervency. And it's important that we understand the direction I'm going with this. that you burn for Jesus, okay? God has been speaking to me about 2024, and one of the things he said is there will be a lot of spiritual coldness, and if care is not taken, it will come close to you, but you have to be intentional about your spirituality. People will be passionate for what is not God. There'll be a rise of a counterculture against the Christ and against the kingdom of God. This counterculture will be institutionalized by culture, governance or government, schools, the marketplace. People will be bold about their hatred for God in 2024. Anything to wipe the name Jesus from the lips of people will happen in 2024. You know, when the Bible says that in the last days men shall be lovers of themselves and the love of many will wax cold, that is the experience. So as believers, because there's a harvest in view, mindful of that harvest, we must be spiritually fervent, knowing that Satan has an agenda, but at the same time, there is also the plan of God. And that agenda of God, you and I are a part of it. We're a part of it because we are depopulating hell and bringing people into the kingdom of God. God will take care of you because he's your dad, he's your father. But it's a glorious blessing and privilege to be involved in his plans. So every day of my life, I pray, I say, Lord, what you're doing on the earth, involve me. Because surely thy kingdom come and thy will be done. So we must be a part of this glorious plan that is at play. And it is for this reason, because of the coldness that will happen in your office, in your family, where people will just hate church, hate God. Voices on social media will be on the rise against the things of God, against pastors, against churches. I mean, it's been on for a long time. That's why if you are the kind of person who follows trends all the time, you love trend, anything that is trending, your heart is into it. You have to be careful because you don't follow trends to the point where trends lead you out of the gospel. Are you with me? So it is for this reason that we must, with great power, witness the gospel of Jesus Christ with proof, signs and wonders, miracles to attest to what we're preaching. So 2024 is going to begin with great prospects. And in the middle of it, people are going to just get tired and slow down, especially in their fervency for God. So that's why we're praying and we're preaching to you. And I'm giving you a pre-warning that your heart is knit towards the things of God, that nothing will take the place of God and Christ in your heart. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you see all these things begin to happen, know is the spirit of the times. But I want you to know, TSB, that you have come into a privileged season where you are a part of the move of God. Am I talking to people here this morning? So be watchful about it. When you begin to catch the cold of the world, know that you have been infected with their disease. When you yourself begin to feel that laid-backness, lethargy towards the things of the Spirit, towards the things of God, know that the spirit of the times is catching up with you. And that's the more reason why in this time, nothing must be in competition with God in your heart. And I'm not even talking about what is evil. I'm talking about what is normal. Normal things will stand in the place to combat God for her place in your life. So, he says, do not be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. I want you to serve God like a madman, like a madwoman in 2024. Because you are a part of his agenda. We need to rescue our generation from the lethargy and the coldness of the times. There will be increase in 2024. Now, on the contrary, I see people moving in leaps and bounds. Okay? This increase will not be a distraction, but a pointer to God's help in your life, whereby you employ what has come to you and happened to you for the things of the gospel. The small will become the great in 2024. The despised will become the obvious in 2024. A little one shall become a thousand in 2024. So, keep your spirit in check. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Next verse. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear the wars, or hear of wars, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Okay? So, don't be alarmed when things are going haywire. You don't be troubled. In the world, there will be tribulation, but in Christ, you have peace. Now, you know, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. Should I say that again? Peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God. In His presence, there are pleasures forevermore. In His presence, there is peace. In His presence, there is joy. In the middle of the storm, there was peace when Jesus said, peace be still. So peace is not the absence of the storm. If the storm hits in 2024, know that the purpose of the storm is to push you up. Because the peace you have is because Jesus is with you. God is with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So where are we? And all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we still have a long way to go when it comes to the end. Let's look at the next verse. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in diverse places. and all these are beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, this is not you, because Jesus was talking to the disciples. They were already afflicted. Many of them died for the faith and in defense of the faith. And shall kill you, and ye shall be hated. This is to the disciples, I repeat. So let's keep the verse, since it's not for us. And then shall many be offended. So watch out for offenses in 2024. And shall betray one another. Watch out for betrayal in 2024. And shall hate one another. Watch out for the spirit of hatred in 2024. Next verse. And many false prophets shall rise. It's been on for a long time now. Yeah. And shall deceive many. Next verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You will not be infected by the disease. Okay, it's a good prayer, so say a good amen for yourself. Next verse. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be what? Saved. So that is the blessing and the heritage of the believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. I want to give you a narrative of what happened with the children of Israel and what Paul was instructing them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. If you haven't, say amen. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. Now, he's not talking about spiritual gifts, but don't be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Follow the story. And all passed through the sea. Right? And if you see what Paul is trying to say here is, what he's trying to say is, he's going to deal with an overconfident church, overconfident believers who think they can't fall. Overconfident group of people who have an overestimation of themselves. And because he thinks or he knows that they have liberty in Christ, he speaks to them that your liberty must be within a sense of boundaries. Just because you have liberty in Christ, there must be a sense of boundary in your spirit. You are free in Christ, but all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. You're free in Christ. There are some things that benefit you, but don't benefit your brother. So therefore, you restrain yourself. You're free in Christ, but the love of God constrains you. Are you following what I'm saying? So Paul is talking to an overconfident church, overconfident people. And part of this overconfidence is attributed to the fact that the gifts of the Spirit was at work in this church. There was almost no gift of the Spirit that you couldn't find in the Corinthian church. The gift of healings, I mean, I don't want to use the word ordinary, but just any member can look at you and prophesy to you and give you accurate word of knowledge. It was a flow in that church. So it wasn't just peculiar to only the pastor who would prophesy. People in church were prophesying. And Paul said, you guys are blessed. However, there is a danger I see with you guys, which is what he's saying in chapter 10. I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. Now he's talking about the children of Israel whom Moses led under the cloud. Have you thought about the miracle God did for the Israelites when they were passing through the Red Sea? Did you know that there was a cloud that protected them from the scorching sun every day? I mean, it's just like you have natural ventilation and AC blowing the cool of your head in the middle of hot afternoon. And then in the evening, there was a pillar of fire by night to give them a sense of warmth. Not only that, there was manna that fell from heaven. You wake up in the morning and you see breakfast handed over. I mean, you could literally see it coming down and it's coming to your doorstep. Quails. You wear a cloth or a dress, and the dress is not getting old. You wake up, your dress is ironed on your body. You don't understand the level of miracle that happened with the Israelites. If there was a generation of people who saw miracles, those guys saw miracles. And still, their hearts were hardened. So you see, miracles are not the ultimate that drive people to God. They are just a sign. They can pull people, but a hardened heart may not be moved by miracles. Thank God for this church. We believe in miracles. We see miracles in this church. And we also see miracles. You people are quiet. Am I talking about your life? We see miracles in our lives. Right? But these guys saw miracles. So, verse 2 says, and we're all baptized unto Moses. I want to believe that the word, they were all baptized unto Moses, there symbolizes they were all identified with Moses as Moses led them through to the promised land or in the wilderness. And verse 3 says, and all did eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink. All right? And followed them, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Let me paint the story well. The Exodus is a picture of salvation. Okay? Follow me very well. Okay? The Exodus from Egypt is a picture of our salvation, is a picture of our freedom. But because they were free, there were some things they did that God was not pleased about, which is what I'm showing you here now. Verse 5 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Paul's words to the Corinthians is, stop using the privileges you have enjoyed as an excuse for indulging in the flesh. Do you get the point? Look at what happened to God's special people in Israel. God's discipline to them, because if I'm going to read verse or chapter 10, I will break it down into three things. God's pleasure, God's discipline or punishment. And you could also see manifesting there their stubbornness. So God was pleased with them. They were rebellious, and there was a punishment. That is the summary of chapter 10. Then verse 6 now says, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. So Paul is comparing the church with what happened to the people who were in the Old Testament. The word lust there is the Greek word epithymia, which means a craving for what is forbidden. So Paul says, yes, you are a believer, but your freedom should be void of cravings that are for things forbidden. Passion will be replaced not just with lethargy, but with another kind of passion. And it will be with a passion for the opposite. So you must deal with your personal lust. Lust is what led the people of Israel into the discipline and the punishment of God. And then in verse 9, Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 comes to mind. Let's look at Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. It says, Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had beaten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So when Paul says in verse 9, do not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. That's what comes to mind. I think I jumped to verse 9. I skipped 7 and 8. But let me repeat 6. It says, now those things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lost them. Verse 7 says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I paint a picture in your mind. In those days, there were what you call idol temples. Because you see, he's writing to the Corinthians. They are not Jews. They are pagans. They had a certain belief before they became Christians. But in those idol temples, there's what they call certain feasts that you have to follow. And they are who you called temple prostitutes, that men will engage in sex with those temple prostitutes. So there were certain believers in the Corinthian church who said, because I'm born again, I can eat meat offered to the idols in this temple that is for idols. And because I know meat offered to idols mean nothing because of my liberty in Christ. So Paul now says to them, eating meat may not be a sin to you. It may not be a problem to you, but it will be a problem for somebody else who is watching you, whose conscience is not formed and may not understand your level of conviction. So you have to be careful at what you do. So Paul is saying that your liberty, the liberty you have in Christ, should not result into the fulfilling of the rituals. You came there to eat meat. It was hunger that brought you to that idol temple. You ate the meat. But after you ate the meat, because of the influence, you rose up to carry out their feasts. And if possible, indulge in the sex that was going on in the temple. So Paul says, remember how God dealt with people who had freedom. Remember how God dealt with people who were freed from Egypt, that they escaped Egypt, they were delivered from Egypt, is not where the story stops. Because all of those nearly 2 million people who Moses said, let's go, were actually delivered. The word saved there, you see the word saved in Exodus. Paul says that of all those people, only 2 in that generation made it. Apart from those who were teenagers. So, he's saying, let us learn from the example. You see, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you flip up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the last verse, you will see Paul's discipline. When he's saying, I beat my body under subjection. That's the last verse of chapter 9. So he's juxtaposing his personal discipline with the indiscipline of Israel. He's showing them that says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself may be a castaway. Please, when the Bible says castaway, it doesn't mean that you go to hell. It doesn't mean that Paul was saying he will go to hell. When the Bible says castaway here, Paul means that he will be disqualified. The NIV puts it in a better way so you can see it. Let's see the NIV if you have it. We don't have the time. But if you have it, fine. He says that I will not be disqualified. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body. That's what I'm telling you now. Because for spiritual fervency to become your reality, there are many things you would do to your passions. And I'm speaking to your idolatries and your, what's the word now? The things that easily beset you. So he says, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. Listen to me. Your cravings are slaves to you. Your passions are under your control. Your lust is under your dictates, not the other way around. Because now you get your body. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can bring to subjection a lot of things because you will be ineffective as a witness of Jesus. Not that you are missing heaven, but you become ineffective because of guilt, because of fear, because of condemnation. You don't need all that drama. Are you with me, people of God? So for you not to catch the cold of 2024, you must beat your body. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize, not heaven. Do you get the picture? So Paul is saying now that, listen, guys, those people were delivered, but they all died. Now you are in the New Testament. We're not saying that you will die because the blood of Jesus is a better sacrifice than what atoned for the Old Testament people. However, you become one who is lethargic and one who is weakened. So he says, don't be that. So that's why I said this message is a warning. Praise God, somebody. And he goes on to say that neither be ye idolaters. The word idolatry there, it speaks of one who has not just something in replacement of God in terms of worship, but idolatry there also speaks of someone whose passion for money has exceeded his love for God. Because whether we like it or not, money is the idol in most of our hearts. So in 2024, you will love God more than you love money. Are you following me? Please say amen for your neighbor. That neighbor may be forming right now. I already love God. Calm down. Even me, I define money. We all like money. Praise God. No, I'm not looking for money comes to me. Let me rephrase that. No, I'm not looking for money. I have money. Money comes to me. Money comes to me quickly. I'll share my testimony with Pastor Ike. The way God blesses me. You see, that's why when I teach you people about giving, sometimes it's uncomfortable for me because you may think Pastor is saying, give to him. I practice it more than you. Because I was someone who had a logical sense of, why must I give? I don't understand why if I give, the same more comes. Because in the kingdom, how did he put it now? That scripture that says more blessed to give, that's not what I'm looking for. The one who gives is the one that has more. Do you remember that scripture? And in my mind, I'm saying, how do you give and you have more. You just give. What you have is less. So even though I was born into a pastor's house, give. I know they give. Daddy will give us money back in those days. I won't pay my tithe. Because it didn't make any logical sense to me. It was when I went to school that I realized, I said to myself one day, I don't have plenty money right now, so I can test with this one. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, because maybe you were worse than me. It's just that you're not with the mic. So don't judge me. I told myself, I said, maybe I will test with this little that I have. I gave the little I had. Like magic. Oh boy. My life is a mystery. There are some things that happen to me, they are strange. I don't get stranded. I don't get stranded. It followed me from when I was in school. It is as literal as if I give a belt. There was a day I Pastor Paul, remember that belt? I will get a belt back. Let me look for the most recent example. Okay, two examples. I took one of my leaders. I said, come, let's go and buy fuel. I put fuel, 20K, in his car. This was day before yesterday. I don't think I even told my wife this one. I put fuel, 20K, in his car. The next day, I told him, come, I have errands that I want you to run for me. So he ran the errands for me. When I sent him on that errand, I knew how much was in my bank account. And I told him, you have to know where you stop when you're buying what me sent you to buy. Because the account where I have savings is not this one I'm giving you. And then from nowhere, I see, now it's not about the amount, okay? But let me use this. I see 200. So I thought, when did I spend 200,000? But I now saw credit. Someone from the UK. Yes. Someone from the UK sent it. That is like a tithe. What I gave was like a tithe of what came. So that's what you call a hundred. Is that 100 or 1,000? That's 100. That's 100-fold. I see Barrister Gloria there. When you came to my house with your boy, because she came to my house, it was her first time coming to my house. I thought to myself, after we've talked, what do I have to give this great woman of God? So I give her a bottle of wine, Eva wine. I'm using the list of examples because I don't want to call the big ones. And then I come back the next day, I saw an Eva wine on my table. It is as literal as if I give a suit, I get a suit back. When I found this thing, I knew that giving works. That even if you are a Muslim, God honors the principle. In fact, not just God, life honors that principle of whatsoever you sow, you reap. How much more God? Oh boy. So my life is a mystery. There are certain things that happen to me, I can't explain it. Back to what I was saying. I don't even know how I got here. What was I saying that made me come here? Idol. Money must not be an idol for you. Because money will combat, oh praise God. Money will combat God's place in your heart. So you have to be careful. Work hard. But pray hard. Depend on Him hard. Be diligent in the office. But know where your source is coming from. I will look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? It was a question David asked. So the real translation says, will I look to the hills? Is that where my help comes from? That was what David meant, because in Jerusalem, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, So the Lord surrounds the people who fear him. That when you are on the mountains, you have a vantage point. And then, you get what I'm saying? You can fight the enemy who is coming. But he says, no, my vantage point is not from the mountain. My help comes from the Lord. So he says, with all the liberty that they had, they died in the wilderness. So I'm telling you that your spiritual fervency will include a strong passion to hate what is wrong. Talk to me, church. To hate what is wrong. To lay aside every weight that easily besets you. And you run with endurance after the things of God. Beat your body. Open your mouth and pray in tongues if you don't feel like it. Push yourself. Drag your body if your body doesn't want to come. Because after a few minutes, your spirit will agree that you made the right decision. It's just a matter of time. So he says, don't join those temple prostitutes, those people who observe a feast. Don't join them. Because it's one thing that leads to another. You went there to eat meat, but you stood up to observe their feasts. He said, so that I don't feel like a Jew man. And then you started observing their feast. What did Peter say now? Did he say anything? You know, Peter is my hype man. It's my wife who will tell me when I get home. I can be preaching like this. Peter will say, I swear to God, bro. Peter, my guy. I've told you guys before now. Peter is my hype man. So, see, look at your neighbor. Say, tell your neighbor, be intentional about your fervency. I have to wrap this up. Then verse 10. What does verse 10 say? Verse 10 now says, or verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. So I believe that word tempt Christ. How do you tempt Christ? If someone asks you, the scripture just says, let's not tempt Christ. How do you tempt Christ? To tempt God is to get God to prove that he is God in your own way. Can I say that again? To tempt God is to get God to prove that he is God in your own way. God told Jesus, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Jesus goes by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What did the devil tell him? If you are the Son of God, command what? These stones to be broken. Did Jesus do it? So he's saying, if you are the Son of God, he's already the Son of God. But it is called a temptation because Satan is trying to get Jesus to prove that he's the Son of God. I don't need Satan to get me to prove that I'm the Son of God. So to tempt God is to prove or make God prove his love for you other than the method that he has proved it already, which is the death of his son, that he died on the cross. So you see, you have to be careful with all these questions. When you are feeling like your situation is questioning the very character of God. God has told you he loves you. And then you are using your situation to challenge his love. You are testing God. You are tempting God because you are looking for an alternate Christ. You are indirectly saying that Christ is not enough for me, so I need God to prove beyond Christ that he is God. I need God to prove beyond Jesus that he loves me. And the Bible clearly says that for God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he has demonstrated it. He has shown me on the cross that he loves me. It is a wrong spirit and a wrong approach to test God. You see what I'm saying? Because the same Jesus who Satan told, turned this stone to bread, multiplied bread and fed 5,000 people. But he was not under the pressure to prove. He was not under the pressure to prove to anybody. No. God, if you love me, why did this? And you are using circumstances that happen, experiences that happen to you, your unstable mind, to judge God's love because you are feeling depressed, you are feeling suicidal, you are feeling like God does not love you, you are feeling like nothing is working. It's a vote of no confidence in God's love for you. But that is not the character of people who are believers. We're assured of God's love. Your spiritual fervency has to be intact, and you have the mind of the Spirit at all times. Are you following me? So don't let anybody bring you to the place where you are tempting Christ. It says, don't tempt Christ. Don't tempt Christ. Flush all the idols in your heart. Flush all the things that challenge the place of God in your heart. Flush it out. Addiction. Pastor, it's been a long time. Listen to me. There is a day of reckoning where you turn back. There is a day where you can say no. You know, faith is not to only receive. Can I say this again? Faith is not only I receive. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So faith is also saying no. Faith is not just to say, yes, Lord. Faith is not only about saying, I receive, Lord. Faith is also to take a stand and say, no. Are you following me? So in 2024, it's going to be a year where you must keep your spiritual fervency. You pray like never before. This is, didn't our heart burn when he spoke to us? I've got to close. I'll continue this on Sunday. Didn't our hearts burn when he spoke to us? Those two men who were on their way to Emmaus. And you know what I see? I see people who are full of the Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? You'll be full of the Spirit in order to fulfill God's desire and his purpose in your life. Because there are some things that you will struggle with except you are full of the Spirit. The Bible speaks of the fact that you walk not in the flesh. But what's the recipe for not walking in the flesh? He says, walk in the Spirit. So he doesn't say fight the flesh. But he says, walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill. So it's not I'm doing this, then I will come back and do this. No, he said in doing this, you will solve that. That if you walk in the Spirit, flesh will not have its way. You know, there are too many of us who just have so much of flesh. We're believers. We're born again. But listen to me, be careful with the flesh. Be careful with the flesh. Be careful with the flesh. The flesh will take you further than you want to go. The flesh will drive you beyond where you are supposed to be. I wish I could read. What verse did we stop? Verse, is it 10 or 9? 9? 1 Corinthians 10, 9. Is it verse 10 we stopped? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Next verse. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the... Stop murmuring. Don't murmur this year. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stop. Don't complain this year. To complain is to challenge God's character and his love for you. Don't complain. Focus on his goodness. Keep your attention on his love. Stay there. Because the spirit of complaint, that nagging spirit you have, you must put it under subjection this year. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Next verse. Next verse. Verse. Now all these things happened to them for an example, and they were written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is for the overconfident in the spirit. I'm a spiritually mature person. We don't fall. Calm down. Calm down. If I can I advise you, take the Joseph's approach instead of the Samson's approach. Yes. You know what Joseph did? The woman held Joseph's garment. Joseph said, I go leave him for you. And then he ran. To run is a spiritual thing. These people are more active. This is like all of you. The way people are looking at me here. It is of the spirit to run from evil. Don't say, I'm strong, I will stay. They're not the stay for some countries. You run, you move. You take off. You flee. I flee. In the name of Jesus, I flee. You know what Samson did? Samson stayed because of strength. Hair, you not get. Eye, you not get. Now, who's strong pass at the end of the day? So take the Joseph's approach instead of the Samson's approach. Don't stay. Be careful with what your eyes are watching. Be careful of some relationships. Be careful of some places, because some places stir up old passions that remind you of who you used to be. And all of a sudden, a strange anointing comes upon you. It's not God. Have you found out that there are some people you just connect with on the phone? The moment you say hello, hello, there's a part of you that comes out. It's either school or alumni or one of those. It finds expression. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Flee. There are some WhatsApp groups you delete yourself from. Don't say, I'm strong. Because TSP WhatsApp is also on my phone. Don't say, because I have a Bible on my phone. There are some apps you delete. There are some movies. The moment you see them, because of knowing who you are, you know yourself. Just respect the grace of God upon your life. And also the grace you don't have. Respect that you don't have it. And flee. So take the Joseph's approach, not the Samson's approach. Joseph was thrown into prison, but at the end of the day, he was better for it. So, spiritual fervency will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll do what God has asked us to do. And guess what? Our money bag will overflow. It's a corresponding action. It's something that ties your life all together. It doesn't leave one thing behind. Are you blessed this morning? So it is an instruction for you. It is a warning for all of you, because the Lord has said to me that many people are going to catch the cold of 2024. You choose now. You tell yourself now that there are some calls. When I see them, I won't pick. I won't pick. I won't pick. I'm not yet strong to say hello, because the moment I say hello, talk will lead to talk. Talk will lead to talk. Before you know it, you are in the club. Look at your neighbor and say, the pastor is, forget it, forget it. Forget it. Pastor, I want to go and do evangelism. Where? Jesus was in the midst of the harlots. That's where I have a ministry. Wakoyo, well done. Well done. Well done. Start with Jerusalem. Start with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. When you get there, you will know you are ready for it. But right now, you are not. You go to the club and you come back home drunk. You went to witness. You know, the first day I went for a party. I've never been to, I never did those when I was growing up. Now God help me, amen. But we had this end of the year party where we graduate from secondary school. What do you call it? Prom? Okay. End of school party. I felt so condemned going to a club that, you know, this New Testament Bible, Johnson's, Gideon's. I say Johnson's. Gideon, man of God, is Gideon. I put that Bible in my pocket so that anytime I want to feel bad, I remember I have Bible. All those nonsense we did. You know, then our, you see, you know, Bible says that if your heart condemns you, hey, God is greater than your heart. That's where we are. But you see, then I didn't know much. So I just did what I thought I should do. So don't go and say, I'm a minister to the club. And you know you have a struggle for the club. I'm called to cigar smokers. Meanwhile, you just left 17 packs a day. God has helped you so far. You are doing two now. So you are saying you want to go and share your testimony so that they can reduce from 30 to 12. Oh, give your neighbor a high five. Tell that neighbor, say, stay fervent in the spirit. Look at another neighbor, say, stay fervent in the spirit. Jump on your feet. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Stay with me, say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.